You know what? I often tell our body when I go to a conference, I tell our body that I'm praying we'll get a new pastor. And but by that I mean I want to come back new, right? I want to come back different. I don't want to be the same pastor that left. I want him to do a work in my life. And I know a lot of you guys are praying for that same thing. Hey, let's thank Pastor Robert and his team for putting this together, huh? Man, they always do such a great job, don't they, man? They work hard and they do a great job. And then also the, are they gray shirts? I don't know what color the shirts are, but all the servants, man, they're so good every year. So since we got to choose our scriptures, I changed mine. After I chose one, it got kind of complicated when I went to choose it. Anyway, as I looked at the schedule, I was going to do like the middle of chapter 2, and then tomorrow they were going to start in the beginning of chapter 2, and I thought, well, that's kind of a little strange. So I'm going to finish chapter 1. I'm going to do Ephesians, so you can open your Bibles to Ephesians 1, 15 through 23, and that's the part that I'm going to do now. And again, since we could choose, I could choose it, right? I've never got to choose a scripture. I think that's kind of cool. Well, in our church, I generally do. But sometimes they make me, people tell me what to teach too, so. All right, let's pray. Father, we do ask you now, God, just to bless this time. Lord, as we look at your word, as we open up now, I think to a pretty phenomenal prayer that Paul gives for the church in Ephesus. I pray, God, we can make this a prayer for us. And Lord, that we can learn to appropriate the things that Paul encourages them to appropriate, and that it would change our ministries, it would change how we do things. It would change us first as individuals and then change our ministries. So I do ask that you would bless this time. Lord, open up our ears, open up our hearts, open up our eyes. And God, we want to glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. So listen, I went away a little bit. There's that one section where Robert stopped at 6 and down to 7 through 14. We're going to kind of skip that. I want to get into this area where Paul prays for the church there in Ephesus. And here's some incredible things. Paul is going to pray that they really understand, and I'll just give it real simple. He wants them to understand all that they have in Christ and the fact that they can trust Christ. So, you know, this week I've just been really focusing on trusting Jesus and trusting him in my ministry and trusting him in my life. So I get ready to come here and instantly I'm driving out of Sierra Vista. I have a flat tire. And I'm thinking, I don't need a flat tire right now. So I turned around. I drive a Mini and I have run flats. So you can keep going, right? So I turn around, I go back, I go to Discount Tire in Sierra Vista, and I said, I need a tire now because I'm supposed to be in Tucson in like an hour and a half. And the guy goes, we don't have those tires. And I go, really? And he goes, no, we don't have any in stock. So I go to the Big O Tire Company, and they tell me the same thing. So then I'm calling around. No one keeps run flats. I don't know if they do in Tucson or not, but I'm thinking, well, that's kind of weird. So I went home, and my wife usually drives up a little later. I went home, and I said, honey, we're leaving now. And she was ready. That was the best part. She was ready. So, woo! So the Lord is teaching me to trust him. She's telling me, well, didn't you tell me your whole thing was about trusting Jesus? And you're not acting very trusting right now. You're like freaking out. If you guys could have seen me a couple hours ago, I'm like over the edge. Like, ugh. So hopefully I learned to trust Jesus and don't have to have any more flat tires. But listen, Paul wants the church to understand all that we have in Christ. And the way we're going to understand that is he's going to let us know in the very beginning. The way we're going to understand that is we got to get to know him. You see, when you know somebody, you can trust them, right? And the better you know them, the more you trust them. So let's look. Look at verse 15. He says, therefore, I also, oh, by the way, this is another one of Paul's long sentences. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for the saints, Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So here's what Paul's telling them. First of all, I kind of like the whole idea. Paul says, listen, here's what he did. First of all, he heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Pastor Robert introduced this, I just really kind of like the idea that as he began to talk about how this church was so strong in the beginning. And listen, man, Paul even said, I saw your faith in Jesus Christ and how powerful that was. And then the fact that they loved the saints. You know, pastors especially, you might underline that part because sometimes it's hard, isn't it? Sometimes it gets a little difficult. And sometimes we forget that that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be loving the saints. And we're supposed to be caring for them and taking, you know, being tender with them and bringing them up. And sometimes we want a big stick, right? And kind of to help them along. And Paul says, listen, don't you want that? Don't you want somebody to say that about you? Man, when I think about you, here's what I think about. Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love of the saints. Paul says, man, that's what I think about. And then he says, because of that reality, I don't stop praying for you. I love that idea that he says, man, I give thanks for you, mentioning you in my prayers. And Paul now is going to give us one of those prayers, the way he is praying for those specific saints. But I sometimes, don't you guys sometimes like to like make it personal? You know, he says, hey, this is about the church in Ephesus, but I think we ought to rip this off from the church of Ephesus and make it about us. And so this is a prayer, listen, this is a prayer for this conference. This is a prayer for every pastor, every leader, every person here in this conference. This is what the Lord would want for us, every single one of us. And we need to make it, listen, we need to make it personal and we need to understand this is what God wants. Oh, and I don't want to leave off too quickly on the idea of loving the saints and the idea of faith in God. Because sometimes, listen, sometimes we begin to look to other things to fill that. And we begin to put other things, we begin to think that, hey, you know what, if I get this education, or if I do this, or if I do that, Paul's going to let us know, man, this is a foundation of who we are, and it needs to keep us in line and keep us growing. So listen, here's the prayer. We're going to read all the way through. Then we're going to come back and comment on it because it is kind of one long sentence. He says, so I do not cease to give thanks in verse 16 for you, making mention of you in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He's going to pray that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He's going to pray that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints. He's praying that we would know that what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet, and he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, to the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, that's a prayer, right? I mean, don't you read that and go, woo! I like that prayer. I like that whole idea. And he starts out, listen, as he begins, he starts out. Here's what I love. Paul says, listen, the very first thing he's wanting us to realize and to understand is that he wants the Lord to open up our eyes and give us the spirit of wisdom and the revelation, listen, of the knowledge of him. Not just wisdom and revelation. He says, I want you to have the wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of Christ. Because if we're going to have any kind of a productive ministry, you got to know him. You got to be close to him. And listen, I don't think we will ever get finished knowing Jesus. I think My personal opinion, I think all of eternity is going to be spent getting to know him. But Paul's saying, man, here's what I want for you. I want you to get that wisdom and knowledge of him, and wisdom and revelation of him. You see, I think sometimes in ministry we get caught up, and we get caught up in things. And we get caught up in the idea of, well, if I do this, then this is going to happen. And if I do this, then this is going to be the result. And, you know, I remember early on in ministry, I was going to try and get a degree. I don't have a degree, and I barely got out of high school. Barely. And I thought, well, I'll go get a degree, and I'll get a degree. And here's what I thought. Somehow that's going to validate who I am. And somehow that's going to make me a better pastor. I don't think a degree makes you a better pastor. I'm not saying it can't. But you know what makes you a better pastor? The wisdom and revelation of him. Getting to know him, spending time with him, sitting at his feet, understanding him. Because listen, the ministry, as Robert pointed out, the church, the ministry is all about him. So we got to know him, right? If we're gonna do this ministry. So Paul here begins, and you know, I think that's the one thing we really need to hang on. Now listen, now he's going to kind of build on that, and I sort of like as Paul begins to build on this. I kind of like this because listen, he's going to tell us not you know this wisdom and understanding is he's going to make it a little bit more specific. So as we think about the wisdom and understanding of him, he's going to let us know first of all that we need to know the hope of his calling. Secondly, he's going to tell us we need to know the inheritance that we have. And these are things, listen, if these things come true in your life, you're going to trust him even with a flat tire. And listen, he says that the inheritance of the saints, and then he says, lastly, that exceedingly great power, and we'll talk about that in a moment, and how powerful that power is. It sounds kind of corny, doesn't it? But listen, those three things come out of the wisdom and revelation of him. Sometimes we just seek after the other things and we forget. It's got to come out of him. It's got to come from that relationship. We got to be plugged into him. So Paul says he wants the eyes of our understanding, or, you know, some of the translations say the eyes of your heart. And we kind of understand, we understand in our generation when we're reading, especially in scripture, when he says the heart, he's not talking about boop, 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 this thing that pumps. He's talking about that seat of our emotions. And he says, listen, I want the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. I believe generally, Paul is talking about being called to salvation. Again, Robert talked about that a little bit. And I think that's general. I think, you know, he wants you to understand the hope of your calling. You know, I'm pretty secure in Christ for this reason, because he called me. You know, I love getting up in the morning, and I just shared with our body yesterday. I look in the mirror, and I'm amazed that God saved me. You know, maybe some of you guys are kind of used to it, and you just kind of expect it. You get up in the morning, and you go, why wouldn't you save me? I get up in the morning and I'm amazed. I'm amazed that he would do that. And listen, I have that hope. And biblical hope, listen, biblical hope isn't like, I really hope this happens. Biblical hope is having assurance of a promise that God gives. He says, the hope of your calling. So first of all, he wants us to make sure we know that. Generally, being called to the body of Christ, being called to be part of him. But let's get a little bit more specific. Pastors, youth leaders, children's ministry, whatever you're working in, do you have the hope of your calling? You see, the only reason I could get up here and do this that we're doing, by the way, I almost flunked public speaking. I used to be scared, man, when they would call on me to do it in the class, they'd call you to come up front, and there's all of 20 people there. And I'd go up and I'd be terrified. And I couldn't do it. And the teacher, come on, you can do it. I don't want to do it. You can do it. I don't want to do it. How can I do this now? Because it's the hope of my calling. You see, I know he called me. I know he gifted me. And when we put our confidence in that, I don't have confidence in Pat Lazovich. I've been around that guy a long time. I have confidence in Jesus Christ. And I have confidence in the calling that he's put on my life and the calling that he's given me and the giftedness that he's given me. And I have confidence in that. And that's what Paul is trying to get them to understand. And I think us as pastors and leaders and you know, whatever ministry we're doing, we need to know that, man. When you know where you're called, man, you can go full bore and you can go as hard and you don't have to worry about it. Because here's what I know. I might mess things up, but God will fix them. He'll take care of them. Why? Because he's called me to this. So number one, the wisdom and revelation of who he is. Well, as you get to know him, then you have that confidence that he called you and you have that hope of his calling. Number two, I like the second part. And he says, listen, not only the hope of his calling, he says, also, I pray that you understand what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Do you know what we're going to inherit? I jotted this down. I think this is good. It says, the value of an inheritance is determined by the one who gives it. Oh. I could leave you an inheritance. Do you get my point? See what he's saying? He's saying, saints, do you understand the inheritance? Our inheritance comes from him. And do you understand what we're going to get? Do you understand we're going to get glory? We're going to go to heaven. How cool is that? We're going to be able to meet Jesus. We're going to be able to hang out with him for hundreds and thousands. Yeah, someone's excited about that. I'm not thinking right now. Well, maybe right now. If the rapture came, it'd be okay. But listen, man, that's our inheritance. And Paul says, listen, not only as you're doing ministry, listen, as you're serving him, not only do you need to understand the hope of your calling, you also need to understand your inheritance. You need to understand where you're headed, where you're going, and what's going to happen. And listen, you're going to get there. How are we going to get there? You're not going to get there by clawing and scraping and fighting and screaming. You know how you're going to get there? He's going to take you there. Ooh, that's good news, huh? And so listen, he says that now, I think we kind of get to the part that is powerful. He says, listen, and verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Have you ever thought about the power of God? It's interesting as I studied this, there's a lot of different Greek words that they kind of went through that Paul interchanged there. But I just think, listen, I think I have a hard enough time with English. I'm not going to get into the Greek, right? I'm thinking, man, I have a hard time figuring it out in English. Power, think of the power of God dwells in you. What is there you can't do if the power of God is dwelling in you? Think about it. The one who created the whole universe. I was reading someone and they went into the entire universe and then the Milky Way and all this stuff and they're going on and on and on and some of that I don't get. Some of that like go right over my head because it's real high. That was a joke. Thank you. So listen, but that power, the one who created everything. Listen, Paul says, I want you to understand something, and I don't want you just to understand it intellectually. I want you to appropriate it, saint. I want you to get a hold of this pastor, leader. He says, I want you to know that, listen, you have the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. If God is on your side, how could we ever fail? How could we? Some of you go, oh, I can give you a testimony. You know when you fail? This is when you do it. You know when you fall flat? When you're doing it. When it's on you. Robert's illustration was great, although I don't watch ice skating. I couldn't resist. He even knew what a triple axel was. That one got me. I thought, no way he didn't say that. I would have just said a jump spinning. Robert's all triple axel and they fall. Do you know why they fall? Because they blew it. Do you know why you fell when you're in ministry? Because you blow it. Because you get in the flesh and you start trying to do things in the flesh. You start trying to work it out in the flesh, and you lose that connection to the power. You lose that connection to the Lord, and you're distant from Him, and things are going on, and now you're doing it on your own, and all of a sudden, you're going to try to do the triple axel, and you're going to fall flat. And then here's what a lot of us do. God, where were you? And here's what He'd tell you, right there. But you weren't trusting me. You see, we have the power of God. We need to understand. And He doesn't just say, I love it. He doesn't just say the power. He says the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. And then I love this. Paul goes on. It's like, that's not enough. He says, I want you to understand what I'm talking about, right? When I'm talking about the exceeding power of God toward us who believe, he says, listen, this is according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, seated Him at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age which is to come. You know, as Paul begins to do that, here's what he lets us know, man. This power is that power, and he gives it to us. And did you understand? Listen, if he would have just said the power that raised Christ from the dead, that's enough, right? But then he goes on and says the power that's above everything. And instead of just saying everything, he gives us all of the principalities and the powers and every name that can be named. And he goes on and on. He's letting us know that the power that God gives us to do ministry, to walk with Him, is that power. How could we not, listen, how could we not go forward with that kind of power? Because we don't tap into it. Because, listen, some of us, we think we have a better idea. And we start tapping into things, and maybe even people tell us, well, if you did this, well, if you did it this way, well, if you do it that way, well, if you take a survey. I remember one time in Sierra Vista, I went up on the Fort Huachuca, the military installation, army installation, with a group of chaplains. And the head chaplain, a colonel, came, and he had asked me, our church was, and God was blessing our church. And he came and he said, I don't understand what's going on in your church. What are you doing? And I told him, you're not going to like the answer I give you. And he goes, well, tell me, what are you doing? And I said, well, here's what we're doing. We open up our Bibles and we read them. And he said, okay, well, I hear your youth ministry is doing really good. What are they doing? I go, I don't know. I don't do the youth ministry. And he goes, really, you don't know what they do? And I said, I have a general idea, but I don't do the youth ministry. What do your children's ministry do? Well, I don't, do you want me to bring the team and you can talk to them and find out? And he goes, you don't know? And then he goes, oh, excuse me for a moment. And he took off and two captains come up to me and they go, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I said, what did I do? And he said, the guy's a control freak. And you just let him know you have no clue what you're doing. And things are working out. Then he brought me, this is no exaggeration. Here's what he did. He brought me a book on church growth. And that colonel said, you need to read this book. No, I need to trust the power of Jesus. I need to trust what He's given me, and I need to get into that. Not, listen, and there's nothing wrong. You can read those, but you can't get hung up on those. And Paul says, listen, this is what we need to know. And then again, just as he goes on and on about it's a name that you know, above every other name. And then he does all that. And then, listen, then he like goes up there. And then just to put a cherry on the top, just so we know exactly what he's talking about, verse 22, he put all things under his feet. This is the theme of the conference, right? And he gave him to be head over all things to the church. Twice Paul mentions all things. You know what I think Paul means? All things. And I think all things means all things. And I think everything. So here's what he's letting us know. Let's go all the way back, because I have little arrows in my Bible, because I get lost sometimes. Let's go all the way back, and let's think about what he says. Listen, he says that he's praying to God, to the God in verse 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that He may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And then 22, and then he begins to talk about Him again. And this him that he's talking about, listen, he is the head over the church, but not just over the church. Jesus is ahead of everything. All things, listen, he put him to be head. I love this. First of all, he put all things under his feet, and then he put him head over all things. Not just the church, but everything. But then here's the problem. In the church, too many of us don't let him be the head. We kind of make our plans, and we do our things, and we go along, and we have this thing, and then we say, oh, God, by the way, could you bless this? And we want him to stamp it, right? We want him to stamp and tell us it's okay. Are you spending time getting to know him? Are you spending time back in verse 17? Because if you're not spending time in verse 17 and you're not letting that wisdom of revelation of the knowledge of him sink into your heart and into who you are and into the core of your ministry, verse 22 is not going to happen. We ain't going to be there. He's not going to be the head of your ministry. Oh, he's going to be there, but he's not going to be the head. I want Jesus to be the head of our ministry. The Calvary Sierra Vista, man, every time we gather together on Tuesdays for our staff meeting, and every time when I pray, I always pray, God, all we want to know is your heart. We want to know what you want to do. Well, we have plans and we have ideas, but we want to know what you want to do. I so want to, you know, I so want to get involved with what God is doing. I want to know what he wants to do, first of all, in my own life. I want to know what he wants to do in my family. I want to know what he wants to do in our fellowship. I want to know what he wants to do in our community. I want to know what he wants to do in our state. And then you get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it's the whole universe, right? But I want to know. And he says, listen, that's him. And then look at how he concludes this. Listen how he wraps this up. He says, listen, he's ahead over all things to the church, which is his body. We're his body. He's the head. Have you ever noticed your body goes wherever your head goes? Just saying, it's not real complicated. We laugh, but as the body of Christ, do we really follow the head? Do we really go where he goes? Do we have that heart, that purpose in our life to do that? And so listen, he says, man, you know, which is his body. He says, listen, he's the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, that one gets a little bit complicated. It was interesting as I studied this and some of what people came up with. And, you know, some people came up with, you know, that we complete Jesus. I kind of get where they're going. I understand when he died on the cross that he died for the church and he died to build his church. And I kind of get that. But that's kind of a scary little thought, isn't it, that we complete him? I believe what he's more talking about is that when he says he's the fullness, you know, that the body, which is the fullness of him who fills all in all, that Jesus is the one to fill us. He's the one to give us direction and insight, not just as a head, but he's to fill us as a body. We're to understand and follow him and allow him in and allow him to fill us, not other things, not looking to externals, not looking to all the other stuff. Christians, I think we live in a precarious time. I think we live in a tough time. And I think the church needs to rise up. And I think the church needs to be the church. But listen carefully. But the church needs to follow the head. We don't need to get out there and then tell God to bless it. We need to find out what God's doing and jump in that. And jump in all the way. Not just partway, not just sticking our toe in, not just testing it. We need to go all the way in. You know, that's something in my life, and it's part of who I am. I do things a little bit radical. When I get involved, I'm all in. I don't do things like, well, I'm going to just see if this is okay. You can ask my wife, and sometimes she goes, Pat, what are you thinking? And I go, I'm all in, hon. We're going. And she goes, really? I go, yeah. I want to go all the way with him. Don't you want to see what Jesus has for you? Don't you want to see? Don't you want to see what he has for your fellowship? Don't you want to see what he sees rather than what you see? Don't you want to see what he has for your community? Do you want to see through his eyes? Well, listen, this is what Paul is talking about here. So Paul, as he begins this letter and gives this letter to this church, He's got this dynamic prayer. And I don't think this is just a pie in the sky prayer. I think this prayer is all about you and I, and I'm going to use kind of the worldly term, you and I having successful ministries. You want to have a successful ministry? Then you need to pray and you need to appropriate in your life the wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of Him. Then you need to, listen, you need to walk in the hope of your calling. Don't be afraid of it. Walk in it. Embrace it. It's yours. He called you. You need to understand your inheritance. That should keep you going. People in the world, listen, people in the world go because they think they're going to inherit something. We get everything. We get the entire universe. And then lastly, listen, He's given us that exceedingly power. Man, I'm ready, huh? Let's do this. Listen, let's go back to our churches and let's appropriate this in our churches and fellowships and let's change them. And you know what? For every pastor in here, I'm going to pray that you go back a new pastor and that your fellowship would go, who are you and where did you come from? And you say, man, I went to the conference and I got changed. A conference isn't just to sit around and kind of enjoy or like teaching or dislike teaching or judge people. A conference is to change us and get us ready for ministry. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we do thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenge of your word. And Lord, I do pray. I pray that as we're standing here, I do want to lift up all the pastors in this room. And God, I pray that our hearts would be captivated by you. I pray that as we go back to our fellowships, that we would have a fresh insight into what you want to do and how you want to do that. I pray, God, that our fellowships would get new pastors and that there would be such a change that people would begin to ask what happened. We could tell, man, just as Paul said this prayer for me and man, I just put it in my life and I began to appropriate it and walk in it. And that's what this is all about. So God, have your way with us. Give us faith, even if it's the size of a mustard seed, to believe what we read here this afternoon and to appropriate that into our lives and into our ministries. In Jesus' name. Amen.